Hello, everybody. I was just on the Corinne call too. So she did a great job, of course. And happy Father's Day. This one is a little bit, different for me. I don't have my dad this year. So that kind of it makes it a little harder. Hey, Nancy. That question, I'm gonna go back and actually listen to the replay on that one because at the very end, I like the question that she asked. But so let's get started. Like, go ahead. Thank you for the hugs, and I appreciate it. Let's go ahead. If you want to get coached, go ahead and raise your hand so I can start queuing y'all up. And you're more than welcome to ask questions in the Q&A. This is a coaching call, so it's a little bit different than my normal, ask me anything. But that being said, so Healthify, how is it kind of different for people on a GLP-1? I've gotten that question a lot through Ask Coaches and everything else. And don't worry about changing your name. I saw you said we're changing your name. If you want to get coached or whatever, don't worry about that. You can just raise your hand and I'll call on you. And just one more thing, housekeeping, sorry. Make sure that the chat goes by really fast, and I don't see it much. But if you want to talk to people in the chat, make sure that it's everybody and not host and panelists, because host and panelists is just me, and I probably am not going to see it. I'm just going to be 100% honest with you. It kind of pops up and it flies by, but I've got a lot going on here and I can't necessarily keep up with the chat. So that means that I had some questions beforehand that were submitted. So I'll go over some of those questions, but how Healthify specifically applies when you're on a GLP-1 or when you've had medical weight loss. And it's not that different, guys. Nutrition is kind of the same across the board. Yes, you're not, just because you're not eating as much as you used to, doesn't mean that you don't have to get nutrition in. So I would dare to even say that Healthify is actually more important when you're on a GLP-1 than not. And what does that look like? Well, we've got our protein, fats, carbs, and veggies, which kind of fit all in there. But the protein, y'all already probably do really, really well on protein because it's been definitely not shoved down your throat, but you've definitely been talked about enough to doing proteins. Carbs are gonna be just digested a little bit differently when you're on a GLP-1. I've seen that some people are like, oh, I ate that and I just felt really bloated and gassy and stuff like that. All of that makes sense as well because carbs, your digestion has slowed down. The GLP-1 has slowed down that digestion. So the carbs are kind of sitting in your stomach a little bit longer. And with that, they break down, and the way they break down, they can kind of give you a little bit more gas and stuff like that. That's not to say that there's anything going wrong. You're just breaking it down and you're breaking it down a little slower. Fats. Everyone probably who has overdone fats on a GLP-1 knows kind of what happens there. And go ahead and raise y'all's hand. Somebody, I know y'all want to get coached today, so go ahead and someone raise your hand. Because there is 99 of you on here in climbing, so I know at least one of you. Sheila, okay, I'll get to you in just a second, okay? But yeah, that. Fats are nutritionally dense, okay? And so we have to kind of watch them, not restrict them. We have to watch them a little bit more on a GLP-1 just because they can sometimes cause some GI side effects. So, like, that's probably a lesson that a lot of you have learned very quickly. That does not mean that we have to restrict them. If you are doing Healthify and doing the protein and the fats and the carbs all together, you're going to kind of slow down some of that, the way that it digests anyway. So that's a better way to do it as opposed to just eating something just fatty, just without anything else. Because that is going to hit your stomach a little bit harder than when it's mixed. So, all right. But we are going to hold, oh, I promised one person that I would answer a question. I don't want to get away from that because she said she probably couldn't get on. And she was wanting to know specifically about carbs and overnight oats and why that is a better for her as opposed to warming up oatmeal. And I talked about this, I believe, last Wednesday, our Yeah, last Wednesday, about resistant starch. And it's the same thing. When you soak those oats in either almond milk or whatever overnight, they're just creating a resistant starch. So it's going to act more like fiber as opposed to a carbohydrate that's absorbed and absorbed quickly. The resistant starch itself kind of makes a shield around it, if you will. And it so it doesn't digest, the digestive enzymes can't get into it until it reaches our large intestines. And then it acts more like fiber. So I promised you I would answer that. So definitely the overnight oats, I believe, is a better choice. You can meal prep it ahead of time and all that type stuff. And I mix in, sometimes I do that, and I mix in protein powder. So you're getting the carbohydrates, the protein, and the fat and the milk. That is healthified. That is what well-fed women do. So you're doing a great job on that. All right, Sheila, I'm going to go ahead and promote you up for coaching. And in the meantime, I will answer one question. Someone said, I'm thinking about switching to LifeRx due to price. Are these places such as Ro, LifeRx, and stuff it's safe? That is a great question. And I want you to take that to Facebook because there, if you're on Facebook, I'll say that the majority of these places are definitely safe. Yes, they're considered compounded because they are not made by one of the commercially available manufacturers, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they are not safe. And someone said, overnight oats, can you heat them back up? You can heat them back up. So don't worry about that. The resistant starch has already been made, and you can heat them back up if you want to. Okay, Sheila, I'm going to ask you to unmute. All right.
Hi, Christy.
Hey, what would you like coaching on today?
Well, first of all, I've never been coached on here before for anything, so
Well, welcome.
thank you. I think you know, well, we chatted in Facebook last week. I just got prescribed Victoza
Okay.
and I just started it last Thursday. But and the doctor said it's I have diabetes and liver disease,
Okay.
amongst other things. And so they're prescribing it for the liver disease. She said there's really not a lot of weight loss like you would see with Zepbound or Ozempic. And originally the doctor wanted me on Ozempic, but because I've never been on weight loss drugs, my insurance company won't allow me to have it.
Right.
So Victoza is kind of the workaround. I started doing some reading, and now my concern is how do we get enough fiber in? Like, I bought fiber gummies today and I could have thrown up. I don't like gummies. So,
Yes.
how do we, like, if I'm focusing on protein, how do I also bring fiber in?
Okay, so it, and this all goes back to like how much you're really able to eat and how much you're eating because the fiber is going to come. I would love for it to come from your food, but I understand when you're not eating as much, and some of the more fibrous food or is more bulky type foods. That's going to be our vegetables. Beans have great fiber, stuff like that. But if you're not able to get the recommended, I hate to give a exact amount, but the recommended, they want around 25 grams of fiber. And if you're not getting that through food, it's completely okay to supplement that, meaning you can go with Benefiber or Metamucil or something like that to help. And that's another kind of the way that I was talking about before, the way that we when GLP-1s will slow down your digestion, that's kind of the same thing is going to happen a little bit with the Victoza, just the way that the drug works. But
Right.
in doing that, the fiber kind of pushes everything on through. It allows the digestion to kind of keep things moving. So it is important, but you could throw in Benefiber in your coffee in the morning and then, go ahead and eat like a well-fed woman, do the healthify, get your make sure you're getting in your veggies and your three colors and all like that. And my guess is you will probably get enough fiber doing that.
Okay.
You don't want to bulk it up all at once, though.
Right. One of the problems I have is I don't eat enough at any meal. For instance, I've been trying to make a scrambled egg for breakfast. I can't finish it. And that was before the Victoza. So now I'm worried about how that's going to affect. Like, I drink three protein shakes a day because I just don't eat enough. And my doctor's done my panels and everything else. And they've told me eat more protein, do this, do that. But what do you do when you just don't desire it at all? I mean, and I'm not, I didn't lose weight because I didn't desire food. You
Right.
know, I very easy for me to overeat, but it's like a 50-50 thing. I'm either hungry or I'm not, and there's nothing in between. And it could be my prednisone that does that.
Yeah, that can kind of increase appetite. But what do you think would happen if, you took one of the protein shakes away, if you just drank two a day?
I'm afraid I won't get enough protein. And I'll be honest and tell you, I started with one a day, then I went to two a day, then three a day. Because I'm just afraid I won't get enough that I need.
Are you willing to experiment a little bit?
Yeah.
Okay, what would that look like for you?
If I took one protein shake away,
Yeah, like, or if you were just experiment with it, excuse me, experimenting with it.
well, last week, for instance, I chopped up a piece of turkey and put it in with my scrambled egg with some red pepper. Again, I couldn't finish it. Someone suggested on Facebook that maybe I try eating six meals a day instead of three. You know, and they gave me this medication with no instructions,
Right.
and nothing told me what to do or what not to do or avoid eating, like what you just said about the fats. I didn't know about that. So I guess it's just going to be a long learning curve.
And what's wrong with that? What's wrong with if it takes you a little bit of time to learn?
I guess there's nothing wrong with that. I'm just concerned. You know, I have a friend who's been on tirzepatide and she's lost almost all her hair and other stuff. And I'm like, I'm not taking this medicine to have that kind of stuff happen.
Right.
So what do I need to do to be prepared? And I don't even know what question to ask.
Okay, I understand that a lot of these doctors prescribe the medication and they're kind of like, okay, we'll go pick it up at the pharmacy. Like that's the they may go over a little bit because, either they don't take the time or whatever. So I can understand that, but that doesn't mean that we can't kind of do our own research as
Right.
well. And what that may look like for you is now you're already noticing, hey, protein is important and you're doing a great job at that. But it sounds like you're doing the protein shakes somewhat instead of eating.
Yeah, probably. I'd rather have a protein shake than eat a hamburger or something.
Yeah, so it makes sense maybe that you're not really hungry for the egg or whatever it is, because you're kind of getting you're getting nutrients through the protein shake, but it makes sense that if you're doing three of those a day, that you're kind of not getting hungry for other type of foods. So that's why I'm saying if you could just experiment with it and maybe, maybe that looks, are you hungry for breakfast?
Sometimes, sometimes not. I get up at 5, I walk, and I do my rebounder, and I do my Bible study, my no BS lesson. Somewhere in there, I'm usually sipping on a protein shake. Then I get ready for work and all that, and then I'll come back out in the kitchen and I'll try to eat. For years, I ate a piece of toast. So adding the egg in has been different for me. And I'm not a, eggs are not my favorite. But I'm trying to add it to get the protein. So maybe I need to skip that protein shake I'm drinking after I work out.
It's you don't have to necessarily skip it. What about doing half of it? Like after you do your workouts and stuff like that, and then just kind of sitting with it to see, am I hungry or do I want more? Or and if you do get that hunger, maybe then do the egg with the
Okay.
toast. And you, I mean, count the protein drink as your protein. So it's okay if you did a protein shake with toast with butter. That is your protein, carb, and fat. Perfect. I mean,
Okay.
because you're
Because
just
that's what I
because,
ate for a long time. But in listening to Healthify, I was like, okay, Sheila, you definitely don't eat enough protein.
And
Pick
if you're
one meal
doing,
a day and try adding it.
yeah, and if you're doing, because the protein shakes are probably going to give you, I mean, how much protein is in one of the shakes that you,
30.
yeah, so you're getting your protein. Almost, I mean, if they say 100 grams, what you're probably eating enough in between to get
Right.
the extra 10 or whatever. So you can count that protein shake as your protein, and then let's just add a carb and a fat,
Okay.
because that's gonna, and even if it's, say, it's a whole wheat toast, or like Corinne loves Dave's Killer Bread, that has protein in it too, and that's gonna have your fiber. That's where your fiber is going to come in. So I think for you, it's really just, you know what you need to do. It's really just kind of experimenting
Experimenting.
with it.
Okay.
And if you're not going to figure it out overnight, and that's perfectly fine. And I think that if you go into it with, okay, I'm going to plan this for today. I'm going to do, let's just say half my protein shake, whole wheat toast with butter. And then I'm going to just see how I feel and see how that works for me. And then maybe if I want the other half of the protein shake, okay, good. And then the next time, you're just going to wait for hunger.
Okay.
Because
That sounds perfect.
there's no wrong or right way to figure out like what your body needs the most. You just have to be willing to kind of, like I say on for Healthify, the only thing I want you to track is how you feel after you
Okay.
eat certain things. So, and that may look like going back and assessing your plan. Like you make your 24-hour plan and whatever, some people do it right afterwards, or an hour after they eat. Some people do it at the end of the day and just go back and, I felt really good today. I was able to wait for hunger. I did get hungry, and just kind of write those down. And then you'll notice that will help you with the experimentation of what works best for Sheila's body, and versus, just trying to guess.
Okay, I'll try that this week. Thank you.
You're welcome. Did you have anything else you wanted coaching on, or?
Well, I have a whole head, but
Well,
I'm just trying to figure this out because I've already lost 60 something pounds.
oh, congratulations.
Thank you. And I did that with no BS and no medication. So now it's like they threw this medication at me, and I'm like, it just makes me very nervous, but I'm also on a lot of other medicines. So, with all trying to balance all that with what I need to eat too, just makes me a little nervous on how to and how not to do what I've seen other people do and rapidly lose weight. I know they say you don't on this, but it just makes me nervous because I don't know enough.
I mean, is it true that you don't know enough?
Regarding this medication and GLP-1s, I would say yes.
Okay, so what do you think that you could do to get better knowledge on that?
Well, what I've been doing, I've been Googling. I went to the Victoza site. I'm just not finding many people that are familiar with it. Everybody's like Zepbound, Ozempic, Wegovy, all these, but I don't even know one other person that's on this.
I can tell you a bunch of people, just being in the pharmacy world, a bunch of people were on Victoza for a long time. And you're right, now that the GLP-1s are out, a lot of people did switch just because they don't want to inject every day. You
Right.
know, that's not to say that because the drug didn't work, because I saw it work with my own two eyes and a lot of people for diabetes, they lost weight, for liver. It's kind of just like your insurance is making you do step therapy before you get to the GLP-1. I would look at it as that. Like, this is my first step,
Okay.
and let me see, let me experiment how this works. And maybe, like, there's a lot of people that do the Victoza and all that, and they don't get the same side effects as the GLP-1s, and they're not, it doesn't bother them to inject every day, so they've stayed on it.
But so is Vic. She told me Victoza was a GLP-1.
Well, yeah, it's not the same as the like the once weekly. So I,
Okay.
it's so yeah, so you're right. But it's just it's not the exact same. But
Okay.
their GLP-1s like are not new. They've been around a long time. But I think for you, it's going to just be, getting some of that knowledge for yourself and then being willing to like experiment with what works best in your body. Yeah.
Okay, I'll try that this week. Thank
Awesome.
you
And let
so
me know how it
much.
goes on Facebook. Yeah.
I will. Thank you.
Thank you. Oh. Okay. Let me look at some of these questions. Google search on hair loss while on GLP-1 Mounjaro has caused my social media feeds to blow up with all the things to buy. I'm scared about what's happening and overwhelmed with how to deal with it. Other than the recommendation of enough protein, can you please simplify advice for what to do when hair loss is happening? Okay, so you've answered, or one of the big things is protein. Another is just making sure you're getting all your vitamins in. So I like to recommend like a methylated multivitamin. A lot of the times when we're not eating as much, we're not getting those B vitamins in, and our hair loves B vitamins. So, and you've probably been inundated with all different types of hair tonics and hair vitamins and this, that, and the other, but a simple, good multivitamin, I prefer it methylated, will help, and it's just going to supplement some of that stuff. Yes, protein is important, but also the vitamins that you may not be getting. Those are our green leafy vegetables and stuff like that, just because you're eating less. But remember, just because you're eating less doesn't make nutrition not important. We're going to have to pick, like when I say prioritize protein, that is going to, if you're on a GLP-1, you're going to have to do that, like eating your protein first. But yeah, that is, it is a thing. There are some people that say the hair loss is just something that happens. I don't know about that. But I do think that it will help to definitely make sure you're getting in your protein and make sure you're getting in your vitamins and minerals. Okay, Julie, I'm going to go ahead and promote you to panelist. So, all right. I'm going to, it takes a little while. There you go. You're coming.
Okay.
There you
Hi.
are. Hey, so what would you like coaching on today?
So, I've been on a GLP for a while. I was on Victoza in the beginning. I went through a couple other ones that really didn't work. Finally got on Mounjaro. Also have type 2 diabetes. Have also had a gastric bypass in the past.
Okay.
I'm down 95 pounds.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I went to my endocrinologist this week and I said, I don't know where you want me, but I know where I want to be. And she told me I was right where she wanted me to be. She said, my glucoses are really tight, that my BMI, she's happy with, it's 26, not 27, which is overweight. We did not change my dose of Mounjaro, but she's saying we may want to in the future. And I'm wondering why we would decrease the Mounjaro. Does it cause hypoglycemia or just more weight loss?
Not as much. It's just sometimes they will decrease the dose. Our body, you're going to get used to that dose over time. And then, so basically, like I've said in the reverse, like when you're deciding, trying to go to the next dose up, like don't bump up until it's not working. Well, now you've kind of worked it all and you've gotten what you want. And so now they're just going to try to bump it down to get you on the lowest effective dose.
Okay.
You're in maintenance. Do you consider yourself in maintenance now?
No.
No, not yet. Okay. But basically
A
what
few more
they're
pounds, a few, one more size.
okay. But what they're doing kind of is getting your maintenance dose of that medication.
Okay.
And
Got
you
it.
normally they'll see less side effects and stuff like that. So it makes sense. But yeah, so what do you consider maintenance for you? You said a couple.
I want to get down to 130, only because I want a little cushion and I feel good at 135. So I know I can make that between 130 and 135 my range. So I want to try and get to the lower end of the range before I say maintenance. I am kind of maintaining. I mean, I'm not losing fast. I'm losing very slow. Do not lose every week. It's okay. I'm fine with that. I'm doing what I need to do, and I know that stopping it enough is the one thing that has made a difference in my life.
And what does stopping out enough like? What does that look like for you? Because I know a lot of people probably on this call and just in the membership, that's one of the tough ones for them. So if you could, what does that look like for you? How did it click with you?
I am amazed at how little food I eat. And often wonder if it's enough. I just have a feeling sometimes, or when I start saying, should I have another bite? I don't think I should have another bite. Oh, I just want that one more good piece. Nope, you're done. So I try and eat the best pieces first so that I get them and not leave them to the end. The other thing is my telltale sign is my nose starts running.
Yes, that is a thing. Because I forget the medical term of it. Like when some people eat, their nose starts running. And it's also some people get hot flashes when they start eating, and it's the same type of parasympathetic response and stuff like that. So yeah. I'm just curious why you don't consider yourself in maintenance now.
I'm afraid
What are you afraid of?
gaining the weight back
And why does that make sense?
because I've always gained it back. Even
How
after
is
my,
it?
I've
How is it
never gotten to a
different?
goal weight in my life for more than a week.
How are things different for you this time?
I'm definitely eating differently. And so I lost a fair amount. I was on a medical leave of absence, like for 3 months, and I lost about 10 pounds while I was on it with no stress. Well, now that I'm back to work, it's a very stressful job, and I find myself going back to some of my habits that I really want to stop. And I tend to eat from 3 o'clock on. Sometimes I eat dinner, sometimes I don't, but I've never been able to do it in the before, so I'm afraid that it may not happen again. I think I'm in a better place now. I'm pretty sure I can do it and recognize when I'm not doing it and get back on. To lose the weight if I gain some. It's just experiences I've had in the past.
Yeah, what proof do you have? You said, that you could do it. What
I
proof do
never
you have?
thought I could do this. I never thought I would get here until probably about 6 or 8 weeks ago.
And what changed?
I got into the 130s. I got to my lowest weight in the past before I started gaining again. And I'm like, I can do this. I can definitely do this. This is doable. And the way I'm doing it is doable. I mean, definitely I eat healthy most of the time, not 100%, like we talked about 80-20, sometimes it's
Definitely.
70-30, sometimes it's 40-60, depending on what's going on and for my life. And but I know I can always go back, and it's always the next best decision. What's the next decision I need to make, and how am I going to make that go? Most nights lately, I've wanted to stop at takeout of drive-thrus, and I'm like, Julie, you're not going to get to where you want to go if you stop there. So I actually have been able to come straight home and eat what was put to plan for dinner.
So it sounds like you're doing really good at maintaining your weight, which maintenance is just that. It's, yes, we give ourselves a maintenance range, but maintenance is maintaining that weight. And it sounds like that's kind of, you're doing a really good job at that. Speak a little bit more on the eating at night. What do you think is going on?
The nighttime eating, well, if I eat, mine's more 3 o'clock on.
3 o'clock, okay.
It's between 3 and 7. I have a long commute home. It's at least an hour and a half, sometimes more. And I'm hungry usually around that time. So sometimes I have a snack in the car. Not always the healthiest. I have in the past planned snacks, but starting at, I eat lunch somewhere between 12:30 and 1, and about 3 o'clock, I start to get anxious.
Where do you think that anxiousness is coming from?
It's getting towards the end of the day, and I haven't finished all my work I wanted to finish. Oh my gosh, I work as a case manager, so I just got an insurance denial. And that can take me almost all day to deal with one insurance denial. And that's kind of when those things happen. And that's when the families of my patients come in and I go out to talk to everybody. And sometimes they don't like what I have to say. That's okay. I mean, they may not. We eventually get to where we need to go. And I just try and do it very slowly. But I tend to, there is a bucket of candy in the office that's filled by one person. I'm pretty good now of staying away from it. I may go there one day a week. But I do bring like fruit, and I probably should start bringing some vegetables like carrots and celery. But I bring fruit, and I have peanut butter crackers in my drawer, and I have rice cakes in my drawer. So I have food, and I just, once I start eating, it's a very hard to stop at that hour.
Yeah, so what, and it makes sense that because food will give you that relief, right? We know that food is a coping skill that a lot of us have used, and it works. It doesn't work for a long time. So it makes sense that you're grabbing for the food. But what else do you think you could do for yourself that doesn't involve food to kind of help you with that, those anxious moments?
So I've been going out for a walk.
And how's
So
that
the two
working?
things before I went back to work was I need to eat my lunch out of the office, and I need to go for at least a minimum of a 5 minute walk outside every day. And that has helped. And I went out on leave because of mental health issues and reasons. And now when I left, I never thought I'd walk back into that hospital again. So I did. I can't find another job, but
Well, it sounds like you know really good ways to take care of yourself.
I
And
do.
yeah, and now it's kind of just, I say the power of the pause. It's that pausing before you're, grabbing for the candy jar or whatever, and just reminding, hey, Julie, we know that walking works for us, or we know that breathing, maybe you can't take a walk. Different breathing exercises and just giving yourself, like, I guess that moment to kind of think instead of just reacting.
I'm trying to do that. I mean, it's definitely better than before.
Definitely. It sounds like you're doing a lot of things very well.
I think so. I wouldn't have gotten to where I am if I hadn't been.
Yeah, and it's perfectly fine for you, to ask your doctor, hey, kind of getting back to the beginning, like, why would you be decreasing my dose or whatever, and let them explain that to you. But I don't see, I see that when people, it's not abnormal for them to start backing that dose down, okay?
Okay.
So I think that makes sense to me.
Yeah, I've been on 10 for a while, and it's really helped me maintain. And in occasion, I have like 2 maintenance weeks, and then I have a weight loss week.
Okay.
And that's what I tend to do.
Yeah, and a lot of people do, even on GLP-1s, they're not losing every week, because
No.
our bodies adapt. And when we, like, if we lose a good bit 1 week, it may kind of be like, hey, what's going on? And then you don't. And so that's perfectly normal. But
Right.
if you haven't taken the Mastering Maintenance course, I am
I
gonna,
haven't. I need to
it is one of
start
my favorites. I will highly recommend that because,
it.
like, and anyone on this call, if you're within like 50 pounds or whatever of maintenance. I know Coach Lizzie is redoing it, but the one that's out there is good too. So go ahead and take a look at that, okay?
I will.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Well, I'll answer some more questions. Let's look. I'm interested in learning more about nutrition. You said you were a functional nutritionist. Do you have recommendations for online programs such as IIN or MindBodyGreen, other programs out there that you might recommend? I think both of those are actually really good. I love MindBodyGreen. I've taken that course myself. I highly recommend that. And the Institutes for Integrative Nutrition, that's another great one. Those are probably my top two. So you probably already know about those. And I love talking about nutrition and learning about nutrition because when we can feed and fuel our bodies well, everything else kind of just works itself out too. Kind of like when you can control those thoughts going on in that beautiful brain, that's when weight loss, is at its best. So I do think both of those are very good. All right, Jen, I'm going to go ahead and call you up. And while you're coming up, Sue, have you heard anything about GLP-1 and spastic colons, IBS? Had this since I was a kid. I still have flare-ups occasionally. The flare-ups can be intense. I'm trying to decide whether or not to try it. That's kind of a hard question to answer because some people do experience GI side effects with them, but not everyone does. I will say that they start you off at a low dose on the GLP-1 to see kind of how it does anyway. So if that's something you want to try, they're going to start you on the lowest dose. So okay, Jen, how's it going?
Good Coach Christy, thank you very much for your
You're
time.
welcome.
So I am a newbie to the GLP-1 world. Like
Well,
just
welcome.
doctor and I decided along with the orthopedic surgeon, because I'm young, but I need a total hip replacement. So it's kind of a tool. There's a lot of thoughts like I failed. A lot of reservations about side effects and all of that, which multiple callers have brought, like just, it's just a question, right? So I think it's just trying to get my thoughts around that. Because as long as I hit my weight loss target, which I think is a little bit lofty, but he wants like 30 pounds by mid-September to put me on a surgical list so I can walk. Because our like you're the last caller, I walked and I can't. So there's a lot of things that I would like to do for stress relief that I can't. And I'm just wondering if you can help me just kind of fix some thought work or that type of thing on taking the GLP-1, because I feel it was been like shoved down my throat a bit. And I know it's like a means to an end. I don't have diabetes. I don't have anything else. It's honestly purely for weight loss. I have a tiny bit of hypertension, but like honestly, it's when I'm not working. So like the last caller, I'm a case manager as well. Different. I'm up in Canada, so I have I deal with like kids and very, very sick kids. So I deal with that. Work's extremely stressful. Just in the, I'll say the overarching part of it. So I'm just trying to see how I can make this most successful. for.
So, what is your thought about you being on a GLP-1?
I think my first thought is a bit resignation that I've tried to do it myself for a long time and I can't. Or I can't seem to in the like in the current realm of water that I'm swimming in.
And what's wrong with the fact that you can't do it yourself?
I think because I have knowledge, skills, and ability. Like I've been an OBS member for a long time, and it's kind of like back and forth, and it's I think it's like mental health stress stuff that causes me to not drink water. My sleep's crappy, but I think it's partly pain. Like, well, a lot of it is pain.
Okay, and so you know that you want to lose weight, and you know that
So
you're
I
in
don't have a
pain.
choice. Well, I have a choice. I always have a choice. That's true. I do have a choice, but to get what I want, I don't.
And why not?
Because if I don't lose the weight, I don't get surgery.
Okay, and are there different ways that you could lose weight?
I think so, but it's just not something that it's just not recommended right now. Like everybody's like GLP-1, GLP-1, and I'm not like I don't discount them at all. I think I've kind of gotten along to the thought process. They're tool in a toolbox. They're not the unicorn magic sauce because you still have to change things.
Okay, so you still have to change things. What do you think that would look like for you if you decided, hey, the GLP-1 is for me?
Well, definitely the water. When I have the stress moments, I don't drink water. I don't drink very much at all. Like I'll have a cup of coffee a day and then maybe a little bit of water in the afternoon. So that's low hanging fruit. I think the GLP-1, my body's tends to be pretty sensitive to medication, so it will be and again, like it's an I don't know, but if I eat foods that are more easier to go through me, then, to be honest, I'm afraid of poop in my pants.
Yeah, I mean, how would you know outside of just other people's opinion? How would you know that if the GLP-1 is going to help you run?
I won't know until I try it.
And so, if you won't know until you try something and you're kind of willing to try something, what's the next step?
Just giving myself an injection. I
And
think that's
what
the
comes up when
next.
you think of that? What comes up?
Like I'm not afraid of injections or giving it to myself. It's going to be like the, as I said, the potential side effects. And I think the what if brain, what if this doesn't work, then what? Right? Like I can definitely say at that point in time to my physician and surgeon, well, this is not your magic sauce. Like, and I think that's kind of how it's been sold. You know, it's like even the cardiologist, they were doing just heart like pre-op stuff. And they're like, well, it's too bad you don't have diabetes because this could be covered because I'm up in Canada and it would. And I'm just like, that's a pretty horrible thing to say. You know, like it's a horrible thing to say. Like, because I think anybody that has diabetes, if they could undo it and not have it, they would. And like in a split second, and then having people tell me that if I had diabetes, it would be easier. And I'm just like, so that bothers me. Like that bothers me. I think that's maybe some thoughts about GLP-1 too, is that it's not saying that there's cardiac protectiveness there. There 100% is, studies are there. But yeah, I think it's just I'm trying it because like I'm at a point where I have to. I don't necessarily know if I want to, but I need to. So I just have to kind of get over that piece of thought.
I don't think you have to necessarily get over that thought. I think you have to kind of get through the thought. And with that, it's you, I can tell that you've done a lot of research on it. But it's like What do you think is holding you back from just being like, okay, I'm going to try it?
So I have thyroid nodules. They're not can't well, I don't know if they're cancerous or not, because the endocrinologist, the ENT, my thyroid function's fine. So that's a nervousness for me. And I know if I have to pick a cancer, thyroid cancer is the most easiest thing to deal with. It, like
Maybe
out of all
remove
of them.
it.
Yeah, remove it in supplementation, right? But I think it's just that piece of stuff for the nodules are like they're there, and I know they're there. They haven't changed, over time, but I think that's the nervousness.
Do you think your doctor would prescribe it if he or she was worried about that part?
I trust my physician, but my physician's very like kind of gung-ho with certain things, and I had wanted like endocrinology to kind of sign off, and like one of them said, well, your thyroid function's fine, good, go. And I'm like, okay, but you didn't re-ultrasound my like you know what I mean, like you just and I know that that is like a thing with this medication of any derivative.
Specific, it is a very specific, like the medullary, I forget exactly what
Yeah,
it
yeah, yeah.
is, but yeah, it's definitely you can't prescribe it if they have a history of that. So there I can understand why you would be cautious.
Cautious is a good word. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that no matter what medication we decide to take, we have to weigh
Well, there's always pros and cons to
benefits.
everything.
You're
Yeah.
right. And so, in knowing what you've told me and everything else, I think that it kind of is going to boil down to you just making a decision. And the best, I had a coach tell me one time, the best thing about decisions is if you make one and you don't like it, you can make another one.
Yeah, and that's something that I was like, okay, well, I can just do a tiny little dose,
And they're
see
going
how
to
I
start
feel,
at the
and go
lowest.
from there. Yeah, well, yeah, they're even going lower than low, like just a 0.25, because it will be the generic version of Ozempic that they're starting with, which is fine. And I think that was just really valuable information that you shared with the other caller is, like they, if it's working, you don't have to go up. Because that's the other thing is that I'm like, if it works at two, like 0.25 milligrams, then why am I going up? Because that's like my doctor was like, you'll go up to 0.5 in like 2 weeks. And I'm going like, let me see if it's working first.
Yeah, and I'm always going to, I guess that's the functional medicine part of me is I'm going to treat the patient like they probably do have a chart they're looking at that they want to bump
Sure,
up
like a
based
guide.
on,
Yep.
yes, based on that, right? But, and this is for everyone on this call to hear, you are the one that is allowed to say, you know what? I don't want to do that, or I want to take it slower, or whatever. I mean, it's going into your body. So, and I have known people who lost all of their weight. It was over a slower amount of time, but they lost all of their weight on like the low, what we would call a lower dose. They didn't make it all the way up. And so it's not to say that you have to bump up to lose the weight. And sometimes you see more side effects coming in if you bump up too fast, which probably a lot of people on this call can attest to that.
Attest to, yeah, for
But
sure.
again, it's going to be, you deciding what is best for your body and working
Yeah.
with your doctor.
Yep.
I think that you've done a lot of thought work about it. And I will just warn you not to get caught in indecision. Because
And
that
that's kind of where I think that's where exactly what you just said. Like I'm there and I'm like the teeter-totter. I can go one way or the other, but I have to just do it. And I think there's just that fear of failure, like with most of us, right? And I know, like, just listening to some other callers, like their path and where they've got to weight loss, I think is a positive thing. Like, I don't discount anybody doing it because sometimes we need help. You know, it's kind of like telling somebody that has cardiac issues, don't take your cholesterol pills. You know, it's really stupid. So I think it's just, you know, try it and see, and then keep that line of discussion open with my physician. And she's really good. Like, she'll want to do certain things, but she listens to me because I'm very aware of my body. And that's one thing no BS has definitely taught me, is you have jurisdiction over your human that you walk
Yes.
around in.
And I will preach that till the cows come home, because that is, you hire a doctor, right? You're the
Customer,
person that,
more or less. Yeah.
yeah. So, and I think that it is important, because my mom says you're the only person that can't get away from yourself,
True.
and so we have to be responsible for taking care of ourselves, whatever that looks like. If it means that we go to a certain doctor and that's not what we want to do, well, we can look for a different doctor. I don't know exactly how it works in
Not
Canada.
it's not that easy in
It's not in
Canada.
Canada. Yeah. So yours may be a little bit different, but it sounds like you do have an
Yeah.
open relationship with
Oh,
her.
and she's fabulous. She's very thorough and everything else like that. Like, she'll do billions of blood works, you know, to make sure everything's okay. 'Cause I made her do like the free T3, 3T4 thyroid antibodies, like everything before. And I'm an RN by trade, so I'm like, no, like, I understand what this is. I want to make sure I'm safe.
And I do think that the physicians are very aware of the thyroid with the GLP-1. So she's gonna monitor that,
Yes.
would be my guess. And then if she doesn't, you can make mention of that. So it makes sense that, you're a little apprehensive, you're a little fearful, you don't know what comes next. Our
Yeah.
brains love to know what comes next. And this is something new that, yeah, people can tell you, oh, well, I lost weight, I did this. But in your brain, it's like, hold on, I don't know about this. But
Yeah.
just like I had mentioned with the other caller,
Yeah.
if you look at it more from curiosity and an experiment, and hey, if I get this and it doesn't work for me, I don't have to continue. I can figure out what works best for me. And just because they tell me to go up in the dose, I don't necessarily have to do that either.
Yeah.
And kind of, I would journal about, like, I love doing a pros and cons list. That still is one of my journals that I probably do once a week with making decisions. And then just know that you're going to make the best decision for yourself and go with it. And again, if you make a decision and it turns out to be, quote unquote, the wrong decision, you make another
Learning
one.
experience. Yep.
Yeah,
It's a learning
you must make
experience and a
another one.
boomerang.
Yes, decisions come with, consequences and stuff like that. I'm not saying just willy-nilly make decisions, but you've done your research on it.
Yeah.
Now you're just like sitting on the fence.
Yes, I am
And so,
dangling
yeah,
my
and
toes.
it's,
Yeah.
yeah. Well, let me know how it goes, because I definitely would like to hear about, how your journey goes. And no decision is wrong. Like, just do what's best for you, okay?
Yep, thanks so much for your time.
You're welcome. All right. I am going to answer a couple more questions. Let's see. I was on the highest dose of Mounjaro and had lost 95 pounds. Then my weight loss stalled. My doctor lowered my dose for a while and is gradually increasing again. However, I'm still not losing weight, and I've actually gained some weight. Do you have any recommendations to help me make the medicine more effective? Okay, good question. And sometimes this can happen with all weight loss, and congratulations on the 95 pounds. We have periods where our body recalibrates and stalls, plateaus, whatever you want to call it. That's actually a normal part of weight loss. More than likely, what they were doing was, when you got up to the highest dose and they were taking it back down, just like I mentioned with the previous caller, they're trying to figure out, because our bodies can get used to GLP-1. You can get to where it no longer becomes fully effective. That's just our body regulating, and that's actually normal as well. So they try to decrease the dose to try to get your body kind of back to producing its own GLP-1 as well as just like a maintenance dose. So you notice that they went down. I would love to know like what happened. Like, are you noticing more food noise? Are you emotionally eating? Truly what is going on? Because I'm always going to tell you if you're gaining or if you're stalled, we've got to take a broad picture of what is going on. And a lot of the times with the GLP-1, it is emotional eating kind of creeping back up because the hunger is kind of dampened and the food noise is dampened. Well, the emotional aspect, the emotional hunger is still there. So I would love for you to take that to ask coaches so I can talk you through it a little bit more. But I'm just going to say, make sure that you're getting your protein in. Make sure that you're not having any type of emotional eating going on, that you are truly waiting for hunger, because now your hunger may sound a little bit different now that you've decreased that dose and that you're stopping at enough. I'm going to pull you back to the four basics. I'm going to make sure you're getting the water. I'm going to make sure you're getting your sleep and just kind of checking that. Another thing that is important for GLP-1 is not only the protein, but resistance training. Are you doing anything to move your muscles and build your muscles a little bit more? People have noticed that they've stalled and then they've added in just 2 days a week of lifting weights and the scale is moving down again. So that would be something that I would also want you to take a look at. Like, what does your movement and exercise look like? I've said this numerous times, I would love for all Nobius women to lift weights. I know that's not doable for everyone, but that is a way to kind of, if you're stalled out or at a plateau, that is a way to kind of get things moving again. Because sometimes what happens on a GLP-1 is we get tired, we're not fueling our body enough. And we're eating protein, we're eating fairly nutritious, but just may not enough. And we're just not moving our bodies as much. So our energy expenditure, just our baseline energy expenditure goes down. And so we want to make sure that we are fueling enough so we can move. So we can, not just sit on the couch and be like, oh, I don't feel good, because that you're not burning calories. I know we don't count calories, but just for the sake of like baseline calorie, sometimes it goes down. What we burn just being a human being goes down because we're not fueling our body and we're not moving as much. So I would take that to ask coaches as well, and we can go in a little bit more on that. Someone asked, does swimming help with weight loss? Swimming is a great exercise. I don't know if y'all are in Facebook a lot, but Corinne's mom and Wanda, they're always swimming and they're posting, their workouts and all. Go and see how many, I hate to say calories again, but they're burning calories. They are moving their bodies, and swimming is great for weight loss because it's easier on the joints as well. And Wanda has lost, I mean, I forget now. I know it's over 100 pounds. And she is such an amazing person in my opinion. But yeah, go and check that out. And definitely swimming is a great exercise and it will help with weight loss. Granted, weight loss is not, you're not going to get weight loss just from working out, right? We have to watch what we eat. We have to do our four basics and all that. We can't outrun our fork, is what I say, because there's no amount of exercise that you can, well, there is, but very few people. 191.4 pounds. That's what Wanda has lost. Amazing. But yeah, there's very few people that can burn more calories to lose weight than what they're eating, is what I mean by you can't outrun your fork. All right, I'll answer one more question. I've been taking tirzepatide for about 2 months now. I'm not having most of the side effects I had at first, but I'm tired all the time, especially in the days right after the shot. I force myself out of the bed and try to do my normal stuff, but I end up sleeping half the day. I don't get the exercise I was doing before. This goes into right what I was talking about. And they've just kind of, I was just reading about this, how the what would they call the basal metabolic energy expenditure is like what we burn, the calories we burn just being human, just breathing, just, digesting and all that. They're showing that some people on a GLP-1 that that is going down because they don't feel good, because they're tired, because they're not moving. For this one, I would say ch double check that you're getting enough electrolytes. It is very common that people do have like a day that they're tired. Some people experience the day after they take their shot. Some people it's 2 days after, and it peaks on the third day. Some people it's 3 days after. So just know that that's going to change with your body. But one of the quickest, easiest ways to kind of get feeling a little bit better is the electrolytes. I have noticed with a lot of my patients that, and a lot of the members here, if you would just do like a Gatorade or the LMNT, like if you will do something to get those electrolytes back in, you will start to feel better. And then ideally start eating more proteins. Carbohydrates are normally quick fuels. Even those simple carbohydrates, even though they're the 20%, sometimes when you're not feeling well and you can't get enough energy, like when you want to eat crackers, that's a simple carb. It's going to give you fast, quick energy. You're so welcome, Cappy, and do check out those electrolytes because I think you'll see a difference. Well, that hour flew by, but thank you for spending Father's Day with me. I do appreciate it. I'm so glad to be able to spend it with y'all because it was kind of a sad day for me, but this does my heart so well. So I will see you Wednesday at my last Ask Me Anything call, and feel free to bring your questions there as well. But I hope y'all have a great rest of your Father's Day and Sunday. And if you're going to a cookout, it is easy to healthify. Make sure you just check on that protein and then add the carbs and the fat, and you are good to go. Y'all take care, and I'll see you Wednesday. Y'all have a great day. Bye-bye, guys.